We are back talking with Jay-Z Knight, someone who has provided 30 years of complex spiritual, physical information, quantum physical information about the universe, about humans, and we've covered a lot of it in the past couple hours. We've talked about ancient civilizations and extra-dimensional beings. We've talked about an ulterior motive to this global power system that reveals itself in these banks and these economic collapse that we're seeing now. So all of it's on the table. The phone lines are going absolutely crazy. We're going to come back and dive into as many calls as possible. We'll be right back. We're back on Coast to Coast AM talking with Jay-Z Knight, founder of the Ramtha School of Enlightenment, who has channeled a warrior king that led millions of people in the battle 35,000 years ago in the long-gone continent of Lemuria. And since then, she has made it her passion to reach out to people to help them explore the hidden potential that we all have. Safe to say, Jay-Z?
Yes.
Well, there's a ton of people waiting to talk to you. And let's just go first to the first-time caller line. Welcome to Coast AM. You're on the air, Sharon.
Hi.
Hi.
How are y'all?
Good, thanks.
I wanted to ask JC about, is it possible that before you're born that you know you don't want to live this life? Because that happened to me, and I remember it vividly. And all I could see was black and a lot of lights. And then after that, I was a little girl. And I knew a lot of things, but I couldn't talk about it because I was too little. Can you tell me if that has happened to other people?
Yes, absolutely, Sharon. I suppose the great question that I would like to ask you is, are the things that you know, that you knew when you were a child, been applicable to your life?
Somewhat, but only at that time. Well, I won't say only at that time. After that, when I had something that was really bothering me, I would dwell on it, and I would realize how it was going to turn out or what was going to happen. But not all the time. You know, most of the time it was just when I was young. And the next time it was when I was in my teens. Sometimes I know things before they happen, but not, you know, not really. And sometimes I'm afraid to believe in myself anyway.
And why are you afraid to believe in yourself? May I ask you that?
Well, I'm afraid I'll be right.
Oh, well, you know, all of us, Sharon, all have these abilities, and some are more aware of them. I think children are very aware of them, and it depends upon the environment that we come in to whether people hear us, understand us, or reject us because we do have those abilities. But usually after about four or five, getting into six and seven, we usually grow out of them and we push them back into us and into a subterranean aspect of our own mind. Being afraid to know something before it happens is a curious statement because it's almost as if you want to bury what you know and sort of live life on the edge a little bit, whereas what you know helps you to change what's coming. I mean, you do have the ability to change reality. That you get a window into what is about to happen to you is very natural. I mean, it is, everyone, Sharon, is psychic, if we can use that term. Everyone has the ability to know what's ahead of us before it comes. And those who are most in tune to it are the ones that we would call psychic people today. But we all, in essence, are that already. It's a part of our survival. And I would simply say to you, I mean, you sound like a lovely woman, and the fact that you got into this life, that you didn't want to be here, that you didn't want to know these things, and yet you're here. You know, we are not forced back into our lives. We come because it is that we take with us what we had in our previous existence. We have an intermediary in another time, another dimension, in which we rest and reassess, and then we come back with what we know so that we can own it, that we can be clear of it, that we can be a participant in expanding our own personal reality, which expands life itself. So for you not to want to know something before it happens, in a way I see as totally understandable, but I think someone should tell you that you have the ability to change destiny because you do know that, and that you have the ability to touch people's lives and maybe say, you know, don't go to town today, or you know, I know this thing's going to happen. Right. And maybe what you can do can avert that. You know, the future is always in flux, and we always see its shadow before it comes. To those who really say, all right, I have this ability, I'm going to start doing that, I'm going to start allowing that to happen. But by the same token, by us knowing allows us to make changes.
Does that help answer your question, Sharon?
It does, to a degree. You know, I still have other things because I'm kind of drawn in one direction and I'm afraid of going the wrong direction. So many things that we hear in religion is, you know, not coinciding with that. And that has been one of the things that has bothered me, although I have really wanted to know more about it. And especially a regression.
Well, there are excellent people that are out there that have the ability to regress you, great hypnotists. I mean, we do have professionals that can regress you back to a time prior to that. And I understand the whole cloaking of religion. Listen, I understand that completely. But you have to understand something. I think that if we hide because we think that it's wrong or it's bad, that if we seek the knowledge that is outside the purview of our religion, in a way, we're not utilizing the greatest gifts that we have. We're only living for religion and really not with what's inside of us. But I would suggest to you, Sharon, that you go on the internet and find a great regressionist, a great hypnotist. They're out there. There are people who actually specialize in exactly what you're asking, and have a regression, because it's absolutely possible to do that. And I would simply say to you that you don't have anything to be afraid of.
Thanks for your call, Sharon. Well, how many are there licensed regressionists out there? Are they easy to find?
Yes.
Okay. Did not know that. Well, let's go to another phone call, the wild card line. Holly from Nevada, welcome to Coast AM.
Hi.
Hi.
Jay-Z, how familiar with the work of Edgar Cayce are you?
I only read one book of Edgar Cayce's, and that was sort of during my training period. That would have been in 1977, latter part, and that's it.
Okay, well, he does have a huge body of work, and I'm fairly familiar with a lot of it. A man named Jeffrey First went through all the readings about that pertain to Jesus. Very interesting. And he said, Edgar Cayce in trance said that Jesus and Mary were twin souls.
Are you talking about Jesus and Mary Magdalene?
No, the Virgin Mary.
Well, there is a confusion about the two Marys in terms of Jesus' life. And Mary Magdalene, for example, is the
is the Mary that the ancient churches of France actually venerate her over and above the Virgin.
I'm very familiar with that whole line of thinking. I used to think that myself. But in this case, Edgar Cayce meant the Virgin Mary and Jesus were twin souls. Jesus had many incarnations. Edgar Cayce goes into some of that. It's quite fascinating, but I think that's where the confusion in the radio thought wave lines out there about Jesus and twins. Jesus and Mary were twin souls, and Mary's mother, Anne, was also a virgin birth. And this is just Edgar Cayce, and who are you going to believe?
Yeah.
And for me, well, I have to go with Edgar Cayce. His opus is just too awesome.
Well, I think that in respect to being curious about Mary and Jesus being twin souls, I don't find that surprising, because I would find that such an incarnation would come relative to a specific group that whole environment and genetic pool would be absolutely particular to that frequency. So I have no problem with that.
Great call. Great comment. Thank you so much, Holly. Well, let's move on. East of the Rockies, we're talking with Matt from Garden City, South Carolina. Welcome to Coast AM.
Hello, Mr. Simone and Ms. Knight. I wasn't going to call until you two talked about Ms. Knight not seeing her next birthday. And I would like to know if either I would be able to contact Ramtha or he contact me on a regular basis.
What did you want to talk to Ramtha about, Matt?
Whatever Ramtha wants to talk about.
Well, Matt, you can... channeling Ramtha is a process that isn't... It isn't sort of like I go into a trance and then suddenly something takes me over and I know what it is. There is a whole psychological process that a whole group of scientists in 96 and 97 went after to test me over this period of time. So I'm telling you that only because that in order to see him, you should come to one of his events, come to the school, or you can go online and actually at Ramtha.com, www.ramtha.com, and actually see teachings of the being. And that's what I could recommend. As far as being able to channel him through this telephone, I've never done that. I probably couldn't do that. But you do have access to him.
Okay. And how did Ramtha first contact you?
I spoke to that early on in the show about the fact that he just appeared to me in 1977 on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, we covered that actually in the first hour, but that's a good question. Thanks, Matt. Let's move on to the west of the Rockies this time, talking with Reverend Rick from Quartzsite, Arizona. Welcome to the program.
Yes, and blessed be to you, JC.
Hello, Reverend.
Yeah, I... my goodness, we go back a long way. You're 65, I'm 62. I woke up in 1979, and later connected. I was channeling through Tarot, and which I had never studied, an old rabbi coming through me. And, well, I wanted to say something to Sharon, if I might, about religion. You know, the word religion comes from the word religlio, which means to link back to the wisdom of your ancestors. So if I tell you I'm a religious man, I am seeking the wisdom of my ancestors, not that I have all the answers. People need to understand that when they're dealing with religion of any kind. Enough said there. There was a gentleman by the name of Jerry Prim who lived in the Portland area, and he channeled a guy by the name of Jubal. He's passed on. I left this country and moved to Asia for 14 years, and I was channeling Jubal through the tarot. It's very interesting. I was told I needed to come back to the United States. I got back here 10 days before 9/11. I've been out here in the desert, sitting in a volcano it's called Quartzsite, Arizona.
Where is Quartzsite? Is that near?
Just across the border from Blythe,
okay.
California. It's a real hot place. It's about 120 degrees in the daytime out here in the summer, 108 to 120.
Okay. Well, we have a lot of calls. Do you have a question for Jay-Z?
I've gotten back here and I'm feeling like everybody died around me. Jay-Z was just like, to hear that she was going to be on tonight, just kind of blew my mind because I got back here thinking I was here to do something for Spirit, and basically I was here to find out I had diabetes and I wanted to ask her.
Yeah.
I've been told the last 2 weeks that this is the year of lycanthropy, like you have the year of the dog, the year of the cat, and all that, but this is the year of the werewolf, and it's come through for the last 3 weeks that the big wolves have kind of bitten us, the banks and so forth, and now it's getting contagious, and the masses are turning into asses, if you will, out there. And what does she think about that? Or perhaps what does Rantha think about this next year becoming a year of people gathering in packs and kind of feeding off of one another, if you will?
Interesting.
Well, that is very interesting. I will tell you, I think that's already happening in terms in the world banking crisis, that the world economy. And I think you're seeing that in our political system, to use those metaphors that you've talked about, to where our politicians are sort of selling out the middle class and the poor in our country to take care of the burden of the rich. And I think you're already seeing that in terms of geopolitical control through our banking systems in the world and its ultimate collapse. And it brings up an interesting insight I had recently, and I wondered why the corporatology, the corporations of our world, which are really running the show, why are they so deliberately endeavoring to break up unions? Why are they endeavoring to get rid of the minimum wage? And just following all that down there, and I came one day on a meditative walk, and I sat down and I realized what it was. The corporations are endeavoring to turn American workers into Chinese, and not that the Chinese are less than the American worker, but the fact that they are willing to work for such a small wage in producing products. And I think that there is an urgency to sort of break the middle class, to bring us down in some way to be more like China.
So we can compete in this global market?
Absolutely.
No, I mean, it's true. All the jobs are flying off.
The corporations, don't like being in China, because when they sign up to go over there, they have to sign away their patents, they have to sign away everything. If they could come back to this country and actually make their products and not have to worry about health care or unions or retirements or pensions, and really take the American people down to the workers of China, I think that's what's going on. And so I find it very novel that you have referred to him in people feeding off of people. I see that in our higher stratums of how our world works in the worldwide banking and political systems, and I think that's what's going on here.
Yeah, well, it's definitely all tied in. This economic reality comes out of a larger construct that ultimately is tied to the flaws and foibles of the human condition and how it's subject to all these different influences, positive and negative. We're getting into all these questions with Jay-Z Knight. Your phone calls next hour. My name is Rob Simone. You're listening to Coast AM. Well, what a show. We've covered a lot of topics. We've got a lot of phone calls, and we're going to get to all of them, as many as we can. coming up right after the break. We're talking with Jay-Z Knight about Ramtha and about the massive amount of information that has come through her from this ancient warrior king from Lemuria for over 30 years. Stay tuned. Coming right back. We're back on Coast to Coast AM talking with Jay-Z Knight. And, you know, Jay-Z, it occurred to me what you do quite often is deal with people in all of their facets and emotional turmoil. How do you bear up to this, what must be a pretty big emotional toll?
That's a great question. I learned a long time ago to compartmentalize because of the breadth of my work and how often I do it, to compartmentalize situations, concerns, and separate that from worry, because worry doesn't solve anything. It actually retrenches my ability to actually help someone. And my caring about people is not a worrisome concept in the way that we understand it, but it is endeavoring to be effectual in helping people with all of their needs. And certainly we are all creatures of our feelings and our emotions. It's what makes us human. But if we, to the amount of people that I deal with and work with, if I carry every concern into a state, I get bogged down and I am ineffectual. So I endeavored to compartmentalize my concerns, what I'm working with, who I'm working with, because the most important part of us really doing a breakthrough is to be clear. And clarity is simply a word that I use to define when you remove all other thoughts and concerns. It's sort of like we zone out, focusing on the candle at our dinner table. Learning to be clear removes anxiety and depression and allows a clear focus, allows a clear insight, which brings to me answers and solutions and how I can better do my work, I can better serve and help other people. If I don't go to clear, then I get bogged down by emotional worry and concern. And it's something I've had to learn how to do, because if you don't do that, you're not a solution to anyone.
Well, one of the quotes that struck me was, that came from Ramtha, was, "We are constantly manifesting who we are."
Yes.
I did love that one, because that one really makes you stop and think, hey, what am I doing right now that I could change?
Absolutely. And thank you for saying that. I mean, you can't say that enough. You are constantly manifesting who you are.
Yep.
And when we become aware, when we want to be aware that we're really doing this to ourselves, that we're really creating this reality to ourselves, when we really know that for a truth, we learn to stop and interrupt the program going on in our brain that's running its emotional.
It's a mirror being put up to our thought process. Let's go back to the wild card line here. Karma in Texas, welcome to Coast AM.
Yes, wonderful program. Thank you so much for taking my call. I have precognitive dreams, and when I share them with my husband, he gets a little irritated, but then within maybe a month and a half, something comes along that is spot on. We also have had very weird things happen. We were walking across a parking lot, and all of a sudden we heard wings come up right behind us, like fluttering. And obviously, when we turned, there wasn't anything there, but he had heard that also. So I'm just wondering, you know, how many different signs does it take for a spouse to realize, that obviously there is something there to believe in, that there are some of us that do have that ability, but we're afraid to share it with our loved ones because it's sort of like they don't want to believe it. It's like they want to go through the world with the blinders on and on the type of person that, hey, Everyone we meet, there's a reason why, whether it's a negative or a positive experience, still something of an educational outcome that somehow enriches us and the people that we're led to meet and to touch their lives for whatever length of time. But so whimsical smile or wink at somebody or that you've said something nice to somebody, you might have made their day that they really needed to hear that.
Absolutely. I agree with you. Very well.
I really appreciate it. And if you could say a prayer, my husband had a horrible fall from our roof, and he's convalescing right now and had to have knee surgery. So please, coast to coast, please send us your prayers. We have to get back to work with our construction company. And
really, well, we will. We hope he gets better soon.
Thank you.
Absolutely, Karma. I will do that. And so your question to me is, how do you get your spouse to be responsive to your intuitiveness?
Well, yes, along with friends, because it's almost like it's a movie that I've already seen before, and I'm trying to share with them, and like my husband, what the possible or what the probable outcome is going to be, but it's like preaching to the choir, so to speak. So I guess everybody has to learn.
Well, the best evidence, the best way to give insight to another individual is to continue with exactly what you're doing, to write down your precognitive dreams, to write down the visions that occurred to you. Write them down. It's very cathartic to do so. And share them. Even though they don't want to hear them, just say, this is my precognitive dream of today, and tell them, and share them. When they happen, you see, this is what changes everything. When things start to happen that you saw in advance, some people will find themselves they'll contract from it because they think it's weird. But you shouldn't ever contract from your ability, regardless what anyone says, because the more that you are right on and the more effective you are for helping people by telling them things that you see, the greater your light is, the greater your work is in helping people. It doesn't matter what they think. It'll only matter when they see. And when they see that you have this wonderful ability, they'll either hold you at arm's length, and then we understand that our relationship with that person does not include our ability to see things, or others that will become responsive that you can share these things with. But the greatest proof in the pudding is to write it down and to date it and to tell someone about it. And then when it comes to pass, the experience of truth gives credibility and credence to who and what you are. And I would advise you to continue seeing and knowing and never shut down for anyone.
Thank you, Karma. I appreciate that. It's a good call. We hope your husband gets better soon. Back to the wild card line. Cornelius from Louisiana. Welcome to Coast AM.
Yes, sir, Rob and Ms. Knight. And I want to thank Gina, your call screener, and all the Coast to Coast listeners and viewers. My mom's dying of blood cancer, so I wanted to thank y'all first for praying for her and sending out, prayers and stuff for her. So,
what's your mom's name?
Her name is Johnetta.
Okay.
So thank y'all. And what I wanted to ask Jay-Z Knight, does she look like anything like the Revelation in the Holy Bible? Does she think anything like that's going to come through or any sort, since she's talking about the global crisis and all like that? And I'll take my answer off there. God bless you, and y'all have a nice night.
You talking about the Jesus coming back, the second coming?
Well, I'm talking about like Armageddon or, with the economic crisis, will this lead to a world war or anything like that?
Like an apocalypse?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you, Rob. God bless both of y'all.
Thank you, and I will focus on your mother.
What do you think, Jay-Z? Is there something coming that is of apocalyptic nature?
Yes.
Okay.
I
had to ask.
And these are also some thoughts that I had recently. You know, when I was young, I was in the Assembly of God Church, and there was nothing more hellfire and brimstone than the Assembly of God Church. And I was in that church until I was 13 years old, and I was saved and baptized. I left it because they judged my sister-in-law for wearing a pale pink lipstick that she was going to go to hell and burn. And she only did that to try to get her husband to come to church and share Christ's message with him. And I just didn't think that was the God that I knew and that I saw that would deliberately burn my sister-in-law for wearing lipstick. So I left that. But having said that, that gives a fundamental basis of what was taught continuously in...
Well, the apocalypse is something that a lot of Christians believe in. And
well, absolutely.
Yeah,
the book of Revelations, and
yeah.
It's about the deceiver, and it's about the Antichrist and the end of the world. And I have some thoughts in terms of that. Certainly, I mean...
Well, does Raphna go along with it? Does Raphna give a date or for something that's similar? Does it correspond with the...
Well, what it does is it corresponds with, for example, the solar...
the sunspot activity.
Yes,
yep.
The solar storm that's coming. It also corresponds with our breakdown in our world economic situation. And it also, when you put all these things together, it there is a sense of gloom in the American populace, and I think in whole in the world populace. And I was recently thought horrible about a megachurch minister who had said that Oprah Winfrey was the announcer of the deceiver, the Antichrist, and that, and of course that leads you to assume that the Antichrist is Barack Obama, but nothing could be further from the truth. But what I think, if there is credibility in the writings of St. John the Divine and the Book of Revelations that have survived all this time untouched and untampered, I would submit to your audience that an insight I had to that was this coming comet called Elon, and those that are now confirming that right behind it is a mega planet that some call Nibiru, and that these two are going to wreak havoc.
So this is the comet. You know? This is the comet that's coming in October?
That is the comet that's arriving. It's called Elon. It's already been spotted. It's in the constellation.
It's making
Still.
A close pass to the Earth. And when we say close, we're still talking about millions of miles.
Well, but, you know, look, close enough that its tail, you know, the tail of a comet or a large body actually flows away from the sun. And what we are in the most critical point is that tail is aimed at the Earth like a shotgun. But what is really important, people can go to NASA and see Elon and see its progress right now. It's now been spotted in the constellation Leo. It's now visible.
It's definitely coming. Yeah, they've tracked it, and it's a matter of fact. The question is, what's going to happen when it does pass through us?
But look, a lot of uncomfortable things. But what is really, now going back to this, behind it is something bigger. And that's been spotted, too. So there's the smaller comet, Elon, and then supposedly there's this large body, Nibiru, you know, Planet X. And both of them have been spotted in the constellation Leo. So
are they on the same trajectory? In other words, you're saying that Nibiru is behind the comet,
yes,
on the same trajectory.
Yes. That's being seen, because whatever it is that is behind Elon is a huge body, and so, of course, people call that Nibiru.
Okay.
Now, let me just finish my thought here. So I recall when you asked me about the Anunnaki, and we go back to the Sumerian texts that describe a great battle that happened with Tiamat's collision with these other planets, and it was talking about these giants battling it out in the heavens, and our first concept of that is to think of them that these were beings that were fighting out there somewhere, but who was Tiamat? Well, it turns out they were actually planets in collision, and so I was contemplating Armageddon. I was contemplating the return, the one that comes before, the one that's coming, the deceiver that's coming, actually is not a person. The Antichrist is not a person. It's a thing. It is something that will bring devastation. And I began to think about if, in fact, it's true that Nibiru is behind Elon, and maybe your people in your audience can confirm that if they look through their telescope, there's some coordinates on it to the constellation Leo, that if that's true, this may be what that St. John the Divine's Book of Revelation was about. It wasn't about a man or Oprah Winfrey and then it's Barack Obama, as Christians would say, but actually stood for something that was coming that would deceive the world and would cause these horrible, horrible things to happen. And needless to say, if in fact that's true, and we have a body come into our solar system that's 2.5 times larger than Jupiter, which supposedly this body, this planet is that's behind Elon, that Elon...
That is extremely bad news.
That is extremely bad news. But
well, NASA's downplaying this. NASA's stance is that it's very far away, nothing will happen, the gravitational effects are minimal. They're putting out all the information that leads people to think that it's absolutely a harmless astrological event.
Well, what else could they do? I mean, if they have a comet this big that is actually coming to an alignment with Earth, between Earth and the Sun, and when it passes by us, that its tail, which flows away from the Sun, would be coming directly towards us, it has got to have some sort of effect on our gravitational field, which is going to affect our plate tectonic movement and affect and even create a wobble in the Earth. Now, if it's true about Nibiru, the larger body behind it, then I could see how that true Armageddon would actually happen if we had these large bodies come within our sphere. Having said that, I mean, that would make sense to me. I have never, ever subscribed to the notion that there was a man born in the East. Well, you know, these planets are coming from the East. I have never subscribed to the notion it was a person and that there was a person that would be in front that would announce this.
Right. So it's not going to play out like the New Testament.
But yes, but you know, it is to symbolize something of terror.
Well, let me ask you this. What does Ramtha say about Comet Elenin?
Oh, well, he said it was always coming.
Well, I mean, when I say what was going to happen, how dramatic would the Earth changes or the devastation
be?
Well,
he has said that this comet, you will know it when it's coming by the pull on the plate tectonic ring of fire. And the ring of fire, the earthquake.
We're just about out of time. So is it going to be, we're going to live through it or not?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, hold it right there. We're just out of time. Jay-Z, thank you so much for joining on the show. Your website is Ramtha.com. It's linked up through coasttocoastam.com. My name is Rob Simone. It was a pleasure filling in for George Norrie, George Knapp, Ian Pundit, and the rest of the Coast to Coast team. We'll see you next time here on Coast to Coast AM.